Good morning, everyone. Hope you're all healthy and spiritually hungry. Keep hungering for the bread of life, the risen Lord who we serve and love and gave his life for us. And so we're here again, and I have some good news. On Friday, President Trump declared that houses of worship are essential. Yes. Synagogues, mosques, and churches. And so, and he instructed governors to allow in-person services, which our governor did open up things. And of course, buildings aren't what makes us the church, but it sure is refreshing to meet in them, isn't it? So we are empowered to go out of the building, also to go make disciples and do the work of ministry, because that's what we are as the church. We don't just come here. We don't exist to just come to a certain place on Sunday mornings. We come here, we get encouraged, we get built up, we get challenged, we get firmed up in the Word and our knowledge of God's Word, and then we take it out to the streets, which I just keep encouraging you guys to do what you're doing. Keep doing that. So many opportunities out there to do the work of the ministry wherever you are. So next week we are going to have what we're calling a soft opening. We are going to invite people to come as they're comfortable. And we're going to take many, many precautions. We'll have many restrictions for a time indefinitely so that people feel safe. We will do a no-contact service. We've eliminated a lot of things from our Sunday morning services. No hugs, no handshakes. If you feel sick, we ask you to stay home. If you are more than welcome to wear a mask, but we're not going to provide masks. The doors will be propped open, so no one has to push the doors open. We're going to have no food or beverages, no bulletins, no money exchanging hands, which is different from money changers. So it's not, we don't have those. That's different, but we won't need to do that. And you can give online. There'll be a box at the back of the room if you want to bring a check. Put it in there. Children's classes are canceled for now. We will provide open spaces. Yeah. We will provide open spaces both in the back of the room of the sanctuary for parents to sit, and we've removed a lot of chairs so that if you have children and they can play in front of you at your feet, or we provided downstairs tables, and we have the video and audio of the service down there as well so that your kids can color, do what they want on the tables downstairs to occupy them. There's also loft seating if you really want to get away, get safe from people. But we want everyone to feel safe. That's the goal. Want them to feel comfortable, want them to feel secure about coming, and there's great life in coming together. And for those who aren't ready to come on Sundays, we will continue to videotape the services that will be online, and that, again, is indefinitely. We will be doing that for a long time afterwards. So no pressure to get here, but the governor also opened up small groups, so you're welcome to have Bible studies at home and here in small numbers. Monday night prayer is back, although tomorrow is not because of the holiday weekend. We're not going to have Monday night prayer meeting tomorrow. So I just want to key in on this, because Jesus said, we are the light of the world. And we're instructed, don't hide your light. Let it shine. People need hope at this time. People need a lot of hope, and people are desperate for some good news. And the best news comes from strong, healthy followers of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the hope of the world, and he's the living God, and he calls us the light of the world. So, and freedom of religion is a big reason for this Memorial Weekend. It's what was fought for us. Many people fought and died. And I do want to read a passage before we get into the message. 2 Corinthians 1:8, Paul's writing to the Corinthians, and he says, we do not want you to be uninformed about the hardships we suffer in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead, He has delivered us from such a peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. I want to take that to heart, and this is the word of God. Our trust is in the Lord to protect us, to deliver us, to sustain us through this time. And is he able? He is more than able. He is more than able to do above and beyond all that we can ask or imagine. And so the Greek word for church is ecclesia, which means assembly. So we are the river assembly. And this is what we were designed for. This is what we were made for. And this is what we have grace for. Of course, the devil wants to break up assemblies, those who want to assemble in Christ. But wherever two or three are gathered, he's in our midst. One shall chase 1,000, two shall chase 10,000. There's power in unity. There's power when we gather together. At Pentecost, they were all together in one place. And that's next week. We'll talk about that next week. But Pentecost is another example. So we're continuing on in a series calling Solid Food for the Mature, based out of the list of the big truths, the biggies in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2, repentance from dead works and faith in God, the God of the Bible, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. We've been going over resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment, which are they really tied together, so I've been kind of back and forth on them. But today we're going to look at eternal judgment of the righteous. What does the day of judgment look like for the follower of Christ? Ones who have put their trust and their faith in the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I'm going to look at 2 Corinthians 5:10. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." I just want to commit this time in prayer. Father, we just ask you to bless this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for preserving your word, for writing your word and giving it to us so we can read it over and over and know the truth and be set free by the truth. Lord, I just pray that you bless our time, whether here and wherever we are watching this, viewing this, Lord, or around the world. Actually, Lord, we just pray for your truth to go forward and to bring fruit that will last. Thank you, God, for the good news that we have in Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. So here it says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Who is this written to? Because we tend to get a little nervous about that, tend to tremble a little bit. But who is this written to? It's written to the faithful in Corinth. At the beginning, if you read the beginning of the two letters to the Corinthians, they're new believers. This is not written to general people, to anyone. It's written to believers in Christ. And so we can get nervous about we are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ and be judged for everything we have done while in the body, which is interesting phraseology, done while in the body, because God right there distinguishes that we will leave our bodies. Our bodies are a temporal vehicle for our eternal souls and spirits that will live on beyond our bodies, but also we will get new bodies, glorified bodies. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. We're going to get some new bodies with no sickness, no disease, no hobogglers and, you know, all those things. So, but it can make us a little nervous until we read the rest of the Bible, what other things are said about this idea of standing before the judgment seat of Christ. There's a lot of conflicting science out there regarding the coronavirus, as we all have read a plethora of things, I'm sure. The stay-at-home orders are really good. No, the stay-at-home orders are really bad. It's really good to put a mask on. No, it's really dangerous to put a mask on. It's really good to, churches are bad, but abortion clinics are good. You know, that's liquor stores. I mean, it goes on and on. It's it's should I get my hair cut by my wife or my, you know, or do it myself? A lot of decisions, a lot of conflicting issues out there. But isn't it good to know that we don't have to wonder about the validity of the author of these instructions? He's perfect at it. It's perfect. It doesn't change. He's not changing his protocols as he goes. He wrote it. It's the same as it was thousands of years ago, and it's the perfect word of God. And that, those are the instructions that we look at regarding judgment for the righteous, the judgment that we all as believers in Christ will face, because we don't look at just a single verse and get nervous. We look at everything God has said, get a good view of what he reveals about the topic of eternal judgment for believers. Because eternal life, we'll start, is not a matter of guessing. It's not just wondering, hoping for the best, popular opinion, knocking on wood, crossing our fingers, sticking a needle in our eye, or finding out after you die. It's not any of those things. God wants us to know for certain. He wants you to know for certain, to not wonder. You don't have to waver. You don't have to second guess. What he says brings eternal life. 1 John 5:13 says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. John 17:3 says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So this is the good news of the gospel, that we can know, right? That we can know that we have eternal life, that we can know right now, not just when we die, but we can know right now that we are right with God, and that you can live forever, be alive forever. Eternal life isn't a matter of guessing, and neither is judgment day for a believer. You can know what's to come before it comes. So I want to look at the first point, number one, those who believe will not be condemned. So I'm going to go over this. Ray Comfort, a well-known evangelist out of California, says, we don't come to Christ for a smooth flight. Rather, we come for a safe landing. To be saved from the wrath to come when we face a holy God on Judgment Day. Thought that was really good. In John 3:18 says, whoever believes in him, believes in Jesus, is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Pretty straightforward. John 5:29 says, those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise, both rise, all rise, the resurrection of the dead, to be condemned. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. God wants us to know. He wants us to know that if you believe in Jesus, you will rise to live, to see life evermore. And then 2 Thessalonians 2:12, and this is just so important to know your Bible, read your Bible, get to know it, spend time in it. Even if you don't understand it as you're going, just commit to reading it regularly. Read the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you as you go. It might be boring, it might be hard, it might be dry at times, but just keep reading, because eventually all the dots will start connecting, and it's just a wonderful thing. Paul's talking about a time when people will perish because they refuse to love the truth, and God will actually send them powerful delusions, it says, so all believers, all unbelievers, I should say, this context is all unbelievers will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. So this is a sobering statement there. And then one more I want to read out of. This is about Christians will not be condemned. Romans 8, 1 and 2, well-known verse. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Now. I mean, it wasn't before, but now those, when Jesus rose from the dead, it says, therefore, now, at that time, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, The law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Did you know that there is a law of sin and death? There was a law. There was an established law by God, said to Adam and Eve from back in the garden, said, when you eat of this fruit, you will die. It's a law. The king said it. And it was repeated throughout the scripture. The wages of sin is death. But through faith in Christ crucified and resurrected, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus set me free from the law of sin and death. The Bible says Jesus forgave all our sins, having canceled the written code that stood against us, that stood opposed to us. The written law stood opposed to us, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus took it away, having nailed it to the cross. And that's just a picture of Jesus, what he did for us, so that we know that we're not condemned, we are not under condemnation, that we are not destined for punishment or the wrath of God. We who were in that position have been taken out of that position by faith in Jesus Christ. So the Bible makes it really clear that eternal condemnation waits for all who reject Christ. Those who believe, though, will not be condemned on the day of eternal judgment. No condemnation for those who are in Christ. Then number two, judgment for Christians isn't a matter of works, but works matter. So good works are useless for salvation, but they do show that your faith is real. They show a living faith. Faith without works is dead. And so believing in Jesus, of course, isn't the whole story. It says the demons believe and they tremble before God. And their faith in God doesn't change their position in God as demons. But our faith in God is shown alive by our works, by our good works, by the things that we do, by the lives that we live that reflect what we truly believe. If we truly believe that Jesus is our Savior and Lord, our lives will reflect that by our deeds. And that just comes out of a grateful heart. So that I want to look at just a reminder from last week. In the book of Matthew, there's a part where Jesus is talking in the Sermon on the Mount. It says, not everyone who comes to me and says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says, God, God, didn't we do religious things? Didn't we do Bible things? Didn't we prophesy, drive out demons, do many miracles? Didn't we do these, do the Bible stuff? Didn't we do all that stuff? And he will say to those who are doing good things, but not under his lordship, they're doing good things for other reasons. And he'll say to them, I never knew you. The only ones who will enter the kingdom of heaven are those who do the will of my Father. So the other day we got together as families, my adult children, and it was to honor my son Gabriel, who is now a law officer, police officer, and it's National Honor Police Week last week. And so we got together, my daughter-in-law, Georgina, asked if we would dress up in some, you know, impersonating police officers, basically. And I said, Georgina, that's illegal to do that, so I'm not going to do that. So I came as undercover. But my son Tony came dressed up in a trench coat and a tie, and he had a fedora hat, and he's looking like a police detective. And he looked the part pretty good, but does dressing up like a police detective make you a police detective? No. Even though during the evening of hanging out at their house, Georgina a couple weeks ago had lost a diamond out of her wedding ring, and this police detective found it in the cold air return. It was pretty amazing. We got talking about it, and he found it. So he's a good detective, but that doesn't make him a police detective. And going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Okay, being in a certain building on a Sunday does not make you a follower of Jesus Christ. Doing good things and helping people doesn't make you a Christian. Doesn't make you right with God, even if you look the part, even if you're doing wonderful things. Even if you're giving money or serving the poor in some way, or doing some really good, wonderful thing that we are encouraged in the Scripture, but just doing those things doesn't make you right with God. It's only faith in Christ crucified, died, buried, was resurrected to have paid for your sins, recognizing that He did that for you. And that's what saves you. There are no good works coupons for getting into heaven, but works matter. Works matter after the fact. And it's all a matter of the right heart and the right motive behind doing those good works. It's doing them out of gratefulness. Because Jesus also in the book of Matthew, later on, many, many, many chapters later, says, you know, He gave the idea of people that went and fed the poor and clothed the naked and visited the sick and imprisoned and did all these things. And He says, enter into the joy of the Lord. And they said, Lord, when did we visit You? When did we clothe You or feed You or give You drink? When did we do this to You? And He said, when You did it to the least of these, My brothers, sisters, You did it to Me. So He's right there commending them for doing these very things that for the others they were doing, but He said, depart from Me, you workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. So we need to understand it's a walk by the Spirit. God is not against good deeds, but it's good deeds with the right motive. And He says in Matthew 25:34, then the king will say to those on His right who did these things, these good things, come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And I just want that to sink in. I want you to have that sink in. The king will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, for just doing these things in faith, by faith and with a grateful heart, because of what Jesus has done for you. And that this was your inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. That God had you in mind at creation. Creating a place that He knew was going to be a place of blessing for you as you honor Him with your life and your actions. So works go a long way toward eternal rewards, and they matter when it comes to judgment day. Jesus said, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Store it up. How? Through IRAs, through Bitcoin, or gold coins? The retirement plans? It's like, no. Through good deeds. The treasures that can't be stolen, that won't fade away, are deeds done with the right heart to be for the good of others. And it also says, don't do your good deeds to be seen by men, to be seen by how cool you are, so you are told how cool you are, but it also says, let them shine. Let them be seen by all people, so that they will glorify not you, but glorify your Father in heaven. So it's a walk by the Spirit. One more verse, Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory, with His angels, and then He will reward each person according to what they have done. So what kind of works matter to God? What matters to God? I want to read a passage out of 1 Corinthians 3:10-15 says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man or woman builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is. Because the day, and it's capital D, the day, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, you will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. My last point is number three, build with what reflects Christ and his word. Jesus, of course, is the foundation of it all. There is no other foundation that we build on, but we choose what we're going to, you know, if you have a foundation for a house, and many of you have built houses, and it starts with the foundation. And the foundation has to be good, but it doesn't end with the foundation. You have to build on top of that. And to the degree of the strength of your foundation, it'll hold everything else on there. But you want to build with quality materials. And Paul is saying here, build with quality materials, materials that reflect Christ, that are valuable to him and to his kingdom. Don't build things that are just valuable to a selfish, self-centered mindset. Choose good material, good deeds that you're going to build on the foundation of Jesus: love, truthfulness, patience, mercy, kindness, integrity. These are the things of gold, silver, and costly stones. These are the things that are going to go through the fire, and they're going to still be just fine. In fact, gold and silver are better, more valuable after going through the fire, the refiner's fire. They're made more valuable. These things that we choose to do that are building on Jesus, we're not making up a new foundation. We're not ignoring Jesus. God doesn't want you to just go do your own good things and somewhere else, but with the Lord of glory, with the Lord, according to his will and plans and purpose. No one comes into the kingdom of heaven except those who do the will of my Father. And we are doing the will of the Father when we're building on the foundation of Jesus Christ with things that are of true value. Because our works, everything's going to go through the fire. And the things that are self-centered, things that are just for our own, maybe, you know, you can fill in the blank, that are the wood, hay, and straw, those are going to burn up and they're going to be worth nothing. They're going to be gone. So as we make decisions, as we do deeds, as we invest what we have as far as resources, invest in what is going to last. Invest in what is going to honor the Lord, what reflects his heart, what reflects his character, what reflects his purposes and his building of his kingdom that he calls us to be builders in, so that on Judgment Day, it's going to be a wonderful day of opening great gifts, great rewards. If we're spending our time in our lives working for our own wealth or success or fame or our own glory, those are the wood, hay, and straw. Those things will burn up and be brought to nothing. As they say, that no one, you never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. It's all that stuff just stays here. It doesn't go with us, but the things built on the rock, built on Christ, those deeds that we do in his name for his glory, those are the treasures that we are laying up in heaven that go before us and that are awaiting us. The rewards are waiting for us. And Jesus is not against the motive of reward. He created the concept. He says, store up for yourselves. There's very few times where the word yourself is used in a positive way in the scripture. Usually it's deny yourself. You know, think of others more highly than yourself. But this is the one case where he says, it's okay to be motivated by reward. That's what a paycheck is. Who would work a job if you know, didn't get a paycheck at the end? I mean, there's some, obviously, but the reward concept is God's idea, and he says, store up for yourselves gold, silver, and costly stones. Do those things, and these are the treasures that will go through the flames, and we're going to be good. But then those things that it says, those things that are self-serving, success, fame, all that stuff that's going to burn up, says those will burn up. Person will still be saved. Their faith is in Christ. They'll still be saved, but saved like a person who escaped a house fire. We don't want to be Christians that just barely get out and lose everything. Everything that you've lived for. I want to encourage you to live for Christ and put your time and effort into things of His Spirit, of His character, of His kingdom purposes. Don't be building your dynasty. It's going to burn up. You'll have nothing to show for it. Build His dynasty. Build His kingdom. And you'll go through the fire and there will still be a lot to show for it. So I'm so grateful to have escaped eternal condemnation. And as believers, we can look forward to Judgment Day, not with fear and trembling, but with great expectation and great anticipation. Live for Jesus. Give Him your life. And then I want to close. This is Memorial Weekend. Tomorrow's Memorial Day. And Memorial Day is a lot different than Veterans Day. Veterans Day is in November. We celebrate. Veterans Day is where we celebrate those who have been or are in the military. And we say, thank you for fighting for us. Thank you for giving your all, your career, your whatever, your time, sacrificing for us. But it's nothing like Memorial Day. Of course, Memorial Day, we honor those in the military who died while fighting for our freedom. They didn't just sacrifice their family, time, their career plans. They sacrificed it all. They gave the best. They believed in the mission. They gave at the highest level for the good of others. They sacrificed everything in a clear and undeniable way. And they're remembered year after year after year. Long after the fact, they're remembered for the sacrifice that they gave. In the gift of eternal life that we have, the gift of escaping condemnation, the promise of eternal rewards it's even possible because Jesus gave Himself to us. He sacrificed everything. And the rewards in heaven that are yours come as a result of you dying to yourself. You had to die to yourself. You had to lay your life down, lay your will down, lay your priorities down, lay your ambitions down. That's what the waters of baptism are. You have died to yourself. You no longer belong to you. You have given your life over to the will of God in a clear and undeniable way. For Jesus and His kingdom, for the good of others, for the glory of God, and no disrespect to veterans that are alive, but there's a big difference between being a living veteran and being a buried veteran. There's a big difference in a similar way between having just a hobby of religion, of doing good things, of going to church, doing nice stuff, helping others, versus someone who has laid their life down. Someone who has sacrificed everything in a clear and undeniable way and daily, regularly sacrifices and surrenders fully, is dead to self and surrendered to the Almighty. And all heaven doesn't rejoice when somebody goes to church. All heaven rejoices when somebody repents and gives their life to Christ and lays it down 100%, 24/7, gives their life to Jesus for His purpose, for His glory, and God remembers that forever. And God rewards you forever. You don't need to tremble when it comes to the thought of Judgment Day. If you live for Jesus, you're going to be awesome. You're going to be awesome. It's going to be glorious. So let's close in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for the gift of eternal life. Thank you for the great price that you paid, the way that you made for us, that we could even have a choice of being right with you. There was no way, but therefore now there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Lord, thank you for making that way possible. Thank you for the grace that you have given us to lay our lives down, to put our trust in you. And God, help us to do that daily. Daily take up our cross. Daily deny ourselves. Daily follow you. And know that you're good. And that you're building your kingdom and you're using us. And Lord, help us to build with valuable materials that you care about. Lord, help us to be diligent to show you our gratefulness by our desire to do good and want to honor you for all you've done for us. And Lord, we pray that you would heal our land, heal our city, heal our state, heal our nation, and heal the nations, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your grace to sustain us through anything and everything that you have delivered us, you are delivering us, and you will deliver us. That we're in the palm of your hand. I just pray you'd bless this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you all. Hope to see you soon.